Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our live weekly edition of Prophecy Reality. Yes, Prophecy Reality. Not Prophecy Fiction, not Prophecy Speculation. We don't tell you what's going to happen in the future. We leave that to God's Word. But we can definitely tell you what's happened in the past and bring you up to where we are in prophecy. And that's what we do. If you've been listening to my broadcast throughout the week at this very time slot, 9 a.m. Pacific time to 11, you've been listening to the narration of my latest book that hasn't even been published yet. Because I decided this is a great way to do a final edit on a book, is to record it for Audible and then make any corrections as I go along. So the first half of the book is playing this week, so you can tune in. And also they're in the podcast if you miss Monday and Tuesday, but you can hear the entire book if you stick around through this week, listen to all the podcasts. And then next week will be the second half of the book. I think I can get it all in 2 weeks. So of broadcasts. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. And after I go through it once, I might just let it run again so that everyone has a second chance at it. So if you don't want to read my book or you don't want to pay for it, if you want to listen to it, well, you'll be able to listen to it free. And those podcasts stay on the server for 1 week, and they're written over by the next week's broadcasts of the same day. So that's your warning if you want to hear it. Or when I publish it, you can buy it. And basically, it's just an exposition of the revelation. That's what I'm working on. So anyway, hope you all are enjoying that during the week. Today, I thought I'd take a little diversion into the Word of God. And let's see, I do have a scripture verse, so that probably would be a good way to start out. Let's see, where is that at? Yes, we are in Galatians. And 3:6. Well, maybe, let's see. I think the whole chapter is appropriate, because it's really all on the same topic. And we do like to take things into context, not get them out of context. And Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 3, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now going to be made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Yeah, there you go. You want to be a child of Abraham? By faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that would have been us. You know, back when Paul was writing this, the gospel was being preached to the heathen, the Gentile nations, the other nations besides Israel. Yes, all classified as heathen. And we have a lot of heathens in America, and those are those that are not born again, that are not regenerated by the power of God. They're unregenerates. Yeah, We're not going to call them degenerates because that's people who go backwards. But if you're unregenerated by the power of God, that means that you have never received the faith. Yeah. Moving on here, Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So if you're under the law, you're under the curse. That's what he's saying. And specifically he was speaking about his Hebrew brethren at the time, the nation Israel. For as many as are of the works of the law, so if your salvation is of the works of the law, you're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And of course, there the intimation is that if you try to keep the law and you're an honest man, what you figure out is that you cannot keep it perfectly, that you are going to fall sometime. Yeah. And then, however, and that means that if you are saved by the law, if your salvation is by the works of the law, and then you fail, which you ultimately will, then you have no salvation. Because, as we know, the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. And there's no recovery from that. So, that's what Paul is trying to drive home here. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Yeah, try to keep the law. Try to be good. And it will become evident to you that it is an impossibility. Then he says, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law? Yeah, there is a curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. And what is the curse of the law? Let's think about that for a minute. The curse of the law is that we can't keep it, and that we are condemned by the law. That pretty much qualifies as a curse, wouldn't you say? That the curse of the law is that it condemns us, and it is impossible for us, being the fallen sons of Adam, being born in sin, that we cannot keep it perfectly, no matter how hard we try. We desire, now, those that walk in Christ, those that are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they have a desire to keep the law. They have a desire to be perfect, but knowing at the same time, by the reading of these very words, that they cannot attain that in this life. But we have the promise of God that we will be raised from the dead, and that when we see him, that is Jesus, the perfect man, the only one who could keep the law perfectly, who never did sin, that when we see him, we will be like him. So we wait patiently, and we patiently allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to conform us to the image of the only begotten Son of God. We don't gain that image by our own perfection or by keeping the law, that we are able to do good, that we are able to please God is a result of Christ's righteousness being imputed to us. Yeah, that's what you would call reformed religion. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, speaking of that regeneration. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I've been looking into the Hebrew movement thing a little bit more, and the Torah movement. And I wrote an article I haven't published yet on Reformed Torah. And here it is right here. And he saith not unto seeds, that is Hebrew, looking back to the Torah and Hebrew roots. That's the seeds that he refereth not to, it says. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. It's not Hebrew roots. It's Christ is our root. He is our only salvation. It's not in the Hebrew nation or the Torah law. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. He says that the law, which came 430 years after the covenant, will not disannul the covenant made to Abraham, and we are the seed of Abraham. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So who was that seed to whom the promise was made? The seed of Abraham? Singular seed of Abraham? It was Christ. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Not sure I really understand that. I may have to look into that a little bit later on and see what Henry has to say about that. But we're moving on. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But obviously it wasn't. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And I think he's speaking as a Hebrew man and for the Jewish nation in these several statement here. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Put him on. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that was Galatians chapter 3. You can check that out. for yourself. Let's see. I'm still working on my book, and I'm trying to decide what my next project will be. And I'm going, considering several different avenues. I'd like to do something different and maybe get off of prophecy for a while on another project, another book, or another project, or whatever I'm going to be moving on to. I still have projects that are unfinished. I still have the third volume of James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism to narrate on the air. And many of you, I hope, have enjoyed that. Two volumes. You know how big those volumes are? They're huge. That's a lot of work. But that practice has helped to perfect my narrating skills. And I hope that shows. I can see a big difference, a huge difference from work I did years ago that I'm thinking, man, I need to do that stuff over again because I was awful. Yeah. But anyway, back to it. The something that I'm struggling with, and the reason I'm struggling with the whole Torah, Hebrew roots, seventh day, Sabbath keeping is because a good friend of mine, separated ways from me a year and a half or so ago. That would be Tom Fress. And it's really, you know, I mean, my heart's still broken in a way because, a good friend of mine, parted ways with me over this. And, it seems like there's nothing I can say to bring him back. I keep researching deeper and deeper, and, I can't go that way because of my research. Now, maybe if I was, you know, if I didn't know more or if I knew less than I know, because I remember early on, you know, many years ago when I was getting into the Bible and reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I was kind of leaning toward that, but, you know, grace and faith and the commandments of Jesus, you know, kind of made a check on me. The New Testament, in place of the Old Testament, made a check on me. And I did find another resource that I wanted to share some with you. Let me check the chat room, see what's going on here with chat rooms, I said. Okay, well, no one's saying anything. Mr. Wordsworth in the chat room over there at DLive, he's just giving me the thumbs up. So thank you for that, Mr. Wordsworth. I've seen from all of your comments in the chat room that we are of the same spirit. I can tell that. Yeah. So anyway, glad to have you here. That's in the DLive chat room. I've got four viewers over there. Wow. I don't know how many viewers I have on YouTube, but we may get kicked off of YouTube. All I have to do is take up a different topic, which, you know, our good friend David Knight takes on every day, and we rebroadcast him here. We're down to 2 hours. KHNC has taken the third hour away, but that's okay. 2 hours of David Knight is plenty for the message that he has. And I do thank God for David Knight and his message. And all of you people, I want to let you know, he does need support. So you might want to consider supporting his efforts over there at his website. I'm sure you can find him on the internet there somewhere. But I encourage everyone, you know, at First Amendment Radio, you listen to our promo, and we encourage everyone to support whoever the Holy Spirit would lead you to support. So pray about it, and pray about supporting any of the fine broadcasts here or just First Amendment Radio and our mission here to reach people with Reformed, Protestant, historicist, that message there, the all kind of wrapped together and severally expounded during different hours, plus keeping up with news and financial news, things like that. We like to keep you apprised and informed for the days that we live in. Okay, yes, thank you for that. Mr. Wordsworth says, glad to be here and thank you for your faithful service. And yes, thank you for those kind words. Let's see, the other chat room over here. I'm watching two chat rooms here. We have one at First Amendment Radio. And I'm trying to get on. Let me check this out for a minute here. Yeah, I have I use Restream, and I have, it's free to use up to three streams on Restream. And I need to add to it, what is that called? It's called Odyssey. And we're putting all of our stuff on Odyssey and BitChute. But I kind of like Odyssey better. Besides, Odyssey also has live streaming. But you have to have 50 of their, what do they call these, their 50 of their Bitcoin. And I only have 10.94 of their bits. So maybe in a couple months. But I encourage you all to go over to Odyssey. I'm going to put a link in the chat room right now, in both chat rooms, to my Prophecy Reality news page at Odyssey. And perhaps if you have an Odyssey account, you can watch there. Or maybe even if you have more of those Bitcoin things, those Odyssey coin, I guess they're library coins or something like that. But I don't know much about that. I don't remember, not they're trying to make money, but you have to have so many subscribers or so much of their what do they call that money? Cryptocurrency. Yeah, their cryptocurrency. You have to have 50 pieces of their cryptocurrency before you can live stream. So I'll get there sooner or later. But if you have an account there and you want to make a donation so we can get up to our 50 library credits or whatever they are that we can start live streaming on Odyssey too. Odyssey seems to be very popular. There are a lot of people over there and a huge community. So we want to be part of that with both First Amendment Radio and with Prophecy Reality. So here, let me put that link in the other chat room at DLive 2. Let's see, paste. And you can, if you have an Odyssey account, you can go there. And hopefully we can get on live there. And then I can do live on all three, YouTube, DLive, and Odyssey. So anyway, check those links out. And we'll see what we can do there. Okay, we're going to go in here, and then we're going to continue my monologue, unless somebody calls in, and we're going to talk more about the commandments of Jesus. Yeah, the commandments of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. My name is Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. We do this once a week, so I'd like you to come back if you're here for the first time and tell somebody else about the broadcast. You know, I forgot to send out any notifications on all the social media this morning. So if you have time while you're watching the broadcast, you could share it on your social media, see if we can get some more listeners over here. Sometimes I feel like I'm just, yeah, it does make a difference. As I can see, there's a lot fewer people in the chat room. But sometimes it just slips my mind to put out notices on Facebook to all those groups and stuff that I have there. But that obviously helps a little bit anyway. So anything you can do to help out the broadcast here and help out the work that we're doing at First Amendment Radio is appreciated, even if it's just sharing our stuff. Yeah. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, yes, we were talking about the commandments of Jesus. And I was looking for resources because, if I'm thinking about doing something, and I'm still working on it, this post that I have. Let me see if I can find that post here. It's called, and I shared this a little bit with you before, and I'm still working on it, but Reformed Torah, and still looking into the whole thing to see if there's anything I can do, you know. I'd like to reach Tom. I'm not sure that I can reach him, though, because he won't even answer my emails anymore. But I can keep praying for him, and I can ask you all to pray for him that he'll come out of that works thing. Because what actually happened was he started telling people that they were going to burn in hell and that they were worshiping the Antichrist if they chose to meet on Sunday. Now, all of us that are Reformed, we know that's not right. That, there are a lot of people that do worship the Antichrist who do meet on Sunday, but simply because you meet on Sunday doesn't mean that you worship the Antichrist. And I asked him to refrain himself from, you know, condemning others for attending, for gathering together on any certain day of the week, because he does on Saturday. And so he took offense to that and said he wanted to say whatever he wanted to say. And otherwise I was, impinging his right to free speech on First Amendment Radio. Yeah. Anyway, I asked him not to leave, but to continue doing the good work he was doing and perhaps research the side trail he was going off on and save it for a separate broadcast. I told him he needed to research it thoroughly before he starts dogmatically preaching. He even, took offense to people singing the song, "This is the day that the Lord hath made," because they were singing it on Sunday. And so it's getting a little weird. And he was upholding some Seventh-day Adventist, document that was tearing down the Reformation fathers because they disobediently didn't teach Saturday Sabbath as part of the Reformation, things like that. So anyway, he took offense and decided that was it. It was done and over with. And he would have nothing to do with me anymore. And First Amendment Radio. And he hasn't been back or even, won't even answer emails from me any longer. So do need his, he needs your prayer. And I hold no grudge or anything against him because he really hasn't done anything to me, you know. So I'm not offended. because he really hasn't done anything to offend me. I just can't have, you know, I am the head of First Amendment Radio, and I have to make certain decisions, whether I like it or not. When you're in a position of responsibility, you're accountable for what you allow, if that's your position to allow or not allow something. You know, and certain things will not be found or heard on First Amendment Radio, or at least they won't be heard more than once, or when they come to my notice. That would be the end of it, you know, if that's the way the Spirit moves me and I feel it goes against the gospel of Christ, then I have to do something about it. Okay, so anyway, I was talking about the commandments of Jesus. That's where we were going, the commandments of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I found a book here, because I do a lot of searching online when I'm looking at a topic. When Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, what commandments is he referring to? What commandments is he referring to? Okay. Is he referring to the instructions of the Old Testament law and of Moses? Or is he referring to something different? Jesus said, and this is in Luke 16:16, he said something like, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Now, there's a lot in that statement. The law and the prophets were. Okay, that's past tense. Until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. So what he's saying is that the kingdom of God was not preached before John, but the law and the prophets were preached before John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. That's Luke 16:16. Huh, that's interesting. They were until John. So I did a little search for the phrase kingdom of God in the Old Testament. And guess how many times kingdom of God appears in the Old Testament as a phrase, those three words together, the exact phrase. Zero. No times whatsoever, unless my e-sword is in error. So there's something there. Before John, and of course he's referring to John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was the forerunner of guess who? The Messiah. And he says, until John. Yeah. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. So we're looking for the commandments, not for the law and the prophets, not for national Israel, because that's when they were given, when Israel was called out of Egypt. Before that, there was no Sabbath rule anywhere in the scripture. There's no indication that anyone kept any Sabbath day. Now, we know that, you know, God, in the beginning, when God created in 6 days the heavens and the earth, because there's two heavens recorded that God created in the 6 days of creation, that on the seventh day he rested and he hallowed that day. But it was never commanded. I see no indication of any of the patriarchs before the Exodus keeping a Sabbath day. It wasn't commanded until then. And it was part of the national constitution. It was part of the constitution of national Israel, the law and the prophets. And we have what was written before that, before the Exodus, not much. There were some writings, but they weren't compiled into that first book of Genesis. Yeah, wasn't compiled until the Exodus. So, the John that Jesus is referring to in that verse is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, who was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus said the law of Moses was until John. In Galatians 3:19, which we just read, we are told that the law of Moses was only designed to last until the coming of Jesus. Let's take a look at that again and see. And that was in verse 19. And it says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Okay, but here's the key verse. Here's the key part of the verse. "Till the seed should come to who the promise is made." And that's pretty much what is said there. That what Jesus said, that the law and the prophets were until John. He was that seed. So Galatians upholds what Jesus said, confirms what Jesus said, and expounds further upon it in that entire chapter. And Galatians 4:4-5 informs us that God sent Jesus to redeem the children of Israel from the law of Moses so that they could become the children of God. And let's see, what else do we got here? I'll just continue on here. The first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. These four books of the Bible are four different accounts of the same story, the life and ministry of Jesus. This gospel period, which covered about 3.5 years, was a time of transition from one covenant to another, from the old to the new. Jesus was born in the old covenant time frame and lived his earthly life under the jurisdiction of the law of Moses. There's no doubt. Nobody would contest that at all. But many in the Seventh Day or Torah or Hebrew Roots movement would say, well, Jesus kept the law, therefore we must keep the law. Wait a minute. Jesus was under the law because he was born under the law. But you know what? He was the only one who could perfectly keep the law. That's why we needed a new covenant. Let's move on. Jesus was born in the old covenant time frame and lived his earthly life under the jurisdiction of the law of Moses. But even though he lived subject to the law of the old covenant, Jesus was laying out the instructions for God's new and better covenant that was soon to begin. He spoke of this new covenant as the Last Supper with his disciples, where he declared that his blood would be the seal of this new covenant. The New Testament was established at the death of Jesus on the cross and poured out on the crowds gathered in Jerusalem 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost. Here the message of the gospel was preached, and people received the promises of the new covenant through faith in Jesus, the risen Messiah. For the past 2,000 years, God's new and better covenant has offered salvation and eternal life as a free gift to anyone who likewise chooses to have faith in Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the Messiah. To better understand the commandments of Jesus, it is important that we understand the difference between these two covenants. The old covenant was a covenant between God and Israel. The nation of Israel was favored by God because they were the children or physical seed of Abraham through Isaac, the child of promise. The covenant God made with Israel came with very specific instructions which required them to follow the commandments of Moses. And you know what? The thing is, there were righteous men under the old covenant in national Israel, and they realized that they could not keep the law fully and perfectly, that they needed more, and they looked forward to the promised Redeemer of mankind that they found in the Old Testament. They looked forward to Jesus. They looked forward to what they didn't know, the New Covenant. But they had enough information to be able to look forward to the redemption and resurrection of the dead. They realized that they needed more than they could obtain by the works of God. Because Jesus talked about two men praying. We use that a lot. One over there saying, "Thank God I'm not like that sinner." Yeah, that was the righteous man. He was righteous by the works of the law. He was deceived, thinking that his feeble attempts to keep the law would save him. While the other guy was over there saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." He realized that he could not keep the law, that he needed mercy. The new covenant is a covenant between God and all who have faith in Jesus Christ. Believers in Jesus are blessed because they are the children or spiritual seed of Abraham through Jesus, the child of promise, the covenant God made through the blood of Jesus requires believers to follow the commandments of Jesus. Yeah, don't think you're going to get off so easy with the commandments of Jesus. It's hard, but you don't have to be perfect. Yeah, it's hard, but you don't have to be perfect. You just have to have a heart that desires to be perfect and at the same time humble enough to know and accept that you can never be perfect enough, and that your perfection will only come in the resurrection. That's your reformed thought for you. Because God is not a debtor to any man, as the scripture says. The new covenant is a covenant between God and all who have faith in Jesus Christ. The covenant God made through the blood of Jesus requires believers to follow the commandments of Jesus. This biblical concept is fairly simple. Our author says, but I need to make mention of it because there are some who are confused about these two covenants. And I think that's where most of your Torah followers and those who are in the Hebrew roots movement are. Yeah. I experienced that confusion. Many of you, many years ago, I've been doing this for 20 years. You know, I've been through all of these things. But I kept growing. I kept reading God's word. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep reading God's whole word. You know, that's why I always start people out in the New Testament. But then I want them to get back there and read that New Testament. But I want them to read it with the Old Testament with New Testament eyes. Yeah. The instructions for the Old Covenant are found within the pages of the Old Testament of the Bible, while the instructions for the New Covenant are found within the pages of the New Testament of the Bible. You will not find instructions for the New Covenant within the pages of the Old Testament. You will find hints that something is coming. You have to have faith in God's promises that will be revealed and better understood in the New Covenant, but you won't find instructions there. Two different covenants, the old given through Moses and the new given through Christ. Two different people groups, the old, the children of Israel, and the new, the children of God, or of the kingdom of God. There are two different kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the new, the kingdom of God. Like I said, I searched the Old Testament. Try it yourself. The phrase, kingdom of God in the Old Testament, simply is absent. The commandments of Jesus are instructions on how citizens of the kingdom of God are to conduct themselves. They teach us how to live and how to love as Jesus did. Remember, we are being conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God. That's not in the Old Testament anywhere. Nowhere. You know it. You know the Old Testament. You know the New Testament. You know it's not there. To be conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah, that's a New Testament command, isn't it? But specifically the commandment of Jesus. They teach us how to live, how to love as Jesus did. As you read the commandments of Jesus, you will realize that these commandments God has written on our hearts. And we keep these commandments out of love, not out of religious obligation. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The following instructions are an example of commandments given to us by Jesus. These commandments are unique to God's new and better covenant. And you can research out, there are plenty of commandments. I mean, they've enumerated 600 and some odd, or 800, how many commandments throughout the Old Testament? The instruction, Torah means instructions. So all of the instructions throughout the whole Testament, Old Testament, there are hundreds of them. Okay? And well, there are many in the New Testament. And you can search them out too for yourself. Here's a small list. This guy, he gives us here in this book. This book is The Commandments of Jesus, by Brent Adkinson, if you're interested in looking that up. Repent and believe the gospel. And I put some of these here in let me see if I can get this on the page here. Yes, come on, producer, get my act together here, will you? Anyway, trying to get the whole Bible in the window there. Anyway, we got these commandments here. And this is one here. The kingdom of God. Oh, repent and believe. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's a commandment of Jesus. Okay? Simple. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Another one. That's And this one, John 3:7. Ye must be born again. Another commandment. Yeah, ye must. It's empirical that you must be born again. There's no other way. If you're not born again, you are unregenerate. There's no hope for you. The Spirit of God does not dwell in you. So it's a commandment. You know, believe and be baptized. That's another commandment. Probably think of a half a dozen, just in your brain already. Okay. Another one. Let's see. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's one of my favorites. I live by that command to make sure that the kingdom of God is first in everything I do, everything I say, everything I endeavor, all of my plans. The kingdom of God is primary in my life. And everything I do, that's what it means to seek first, to give the kingdom of God primary place in your life. And we're going to continue on the commandments of Jesus when we get back in the next segment. We're going to have some news and some messages, and we'll be back after that.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org. to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and we're taking a break from specifically prophecy, future things, or end time things, and looking at a study on the commandments of Jesus, I guess. I guess that's what we'll label it, the commandments of Jesus. Anyway, you can listen to this broadcast the rest of this week, and we're going through the Revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, that book, and expose and exposition of the Revelation. So you might want to catch up with that. The podcasts are available at firstamendmentradio.net if you miss Monday and Tuesday, but I will be back tomorrow, and you can continue from where we left off on Tuesday, and then next week we'll do the last half of the book of Revelation. And then I think I'll probably run it over again one more time just to make sure everyone gets a chance, because it's a lot to take in, I have to admit. And so hope you all will find that edifying. And if you're not listening to this broadcast for the rest of the week, well, shame on you. You should be listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.net all the time. Better than the pop music or the romance, the idolatry of romance music, if you're listening to that, or... Okay, so we were talking about the commandments of Jesus, and I was saying you should be listening to First Amendment Radio every day. There's a lot of good stuff there. We have a prophecy reality news app for your Android product, and it works really good. You can choose between a 32-bit stream and a 64-bit stream, depending on your stupid phone settings and how much bandwidth you have, but 32 kilobits is, it's okay. It's a little delayed, but it sounds pretty good. And we have a 64 kilobit stream for, most people that can, have enough bandwidth that they can do that. Most people are watching videos and stuff on their stupid phones. I just haven't got there yet. I don't watch videos on my stupid phone, but I do listen to First Amendment Radio. It helps to, you know, past when I can, you know, because a lot of times you're doing things where you can listen and be edified and listen to Reformed Thought Today, Renewing Your Mind, and things like that throughout the day. Also, we have firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI, MOBI, for those people who only have Apple products. Let's see. I think in the chat room, oh yes, someone says, did not Jesus say, obey my father? I'm going to need a chapter verse for that. Yeah, you might want to look that up for me. But I do know what the father said. This is my beloved son, hear him. Yeah, so, and we have it that we're to keep his, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think he would have said, keep the commandments, if he was referring to the commandments, the 10 or the the many hundreds of commandments from the Torah or the Old Testament. He would have said, keep the commandments. But he never did say that. He said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So I think we need to search the scripture to find out what his commandments are. Then we need to read all the epistles, so we can get application. Yeah. And because there's a lot of application. I mean, after all, that's what the epistles are about. They're to the specific churches addressing life, you know, and, what we can do about that. So, Well, that's good stuff. Sid, he says, my 1-year-old daughter enjoys your fellowship, Nicholas. Yes. Yes. Let's teach the children. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. But anyway, we were looking at some of the commandments of Jesus. We looked at repent and believe the gospels. Repent and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. You must be born again, John 3:7. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And then our next one is love one another as I have loved you, John 13:34. Yeah, love one another as I have loved you. Let your light shine. Yeah, so that's a commandment. And these are the words of Jesus, basically. I mean, if you want to get legalistic about what Jesus said when he said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So there you go. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we do these things, Christ will manifest himself to us. And that's very encouraging to have, the Heavenly Father and His Son manifested to you, really, you know, but that won't happen unless you follow the commandments, or is repent and believe. That's the first one. I mean, this is a pretty good lineup of things you need to do first. You have to repent and believe the gospel first, and then you must be born again. Yeah, good stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God, and so on. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? call it crucifying the deeds of the flesh. Where did I get that? Application. Crucifying the deeds of the flesh. I got that from Paul. So, you know, you get that in the epistles. How to apply what, how to, you know, apply that. Take up your cross and follow me. Crucifying the deeds of the flesh. Love your enemies. Wow, we have to love our enemies. That's a commandment, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And how about this one here? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Yeah. There's not many people doing that. Yeah. Laying up, because where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. So how do you do that? Well, there's application. You know, you either... You seek first the kingdom of God. That's part of the application of laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because you're doing what you're being obedient to God. That is your treasure. You know, every soul that you can bring with you, everyone you preach to, every ministry that you give part of your labor to, part of that hard earned cash that you work for, you can invest it. That's what it means to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Invest in the kingdom of God. You know, I give to several different ministries, and I consider them very good investments. Yeah. Better than any investments on the stock market or anything you can invest in this world, because these investments have eternal rewards and eternal payoffs. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:20. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Now that one there is, I started thinking about, because, on Passover, or I went on Saturday Passover with a neighbor of mine, a good friend of mine, and we went to that Torah school, and we stayed for their Passover service on a Saturday. And, oh no, that wasn't a Torah Saturday, but it was about, No, that was not not Passover. We didn't go on Passover Day. I just had it on my mind. So, but anyway, I was thinking about keeping Passover and how they were doing it. And I was looking it up for several of these, at how they do it. And they were trying to do it like the Old Testament rules for keeping Passover. But they were doing it all wrong. Because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We're not to keep Passover. We're to keep the Lord's Supper. Didn't he do that on Passover? Seriously. So why would we keep Passover according to the Old Testament law when Jesus gave us a new commandment not to do Passover according to the Old Testament law? That doesn't mean you can't slaughter a lamb and roast a lamb if you want. Nothing wrong with that. We sacrifice animals for food all the time. Well, we're certainly not doing it for sin. And they didn't do it there on the Passover when Jesus celebrated the final Passover before he became our Passover lamb. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And he passed around the bread and the cup and said, this is the cup of my blood. This bread is my body, broken for you. That's what we're to do. It's the New Testament, the new and better covenant that we are to keep, not the old law and old rituals. The above instructions, our author says here, are just a few of the new covenant commandments of Jesus. And you can go through and if you want, search out all the commandments of Jesus, you know, maybe get a special highlighter of a different color. And as you're just reading through the New Testament, underline the commandments of Jesus, if you really want to keep them. And then you'll realize what even the Old Testament fathers and the patriarchs and all of those devoted men in national Israel realized that they fail. They're going to fail. You can do it a lot. You can keep them a lot and you can feel pretty good about keeping them. But you can't feel so good that God owes you heaven because you were obedient. Because then we realize it's only the power of Christ that by which his righteousness is imputed to us because we are wicked without him. If we are unregenerate, then even if we do right, our motivation is wrong, and it's sin. Yeah, so the mere act. See, Jesus elevated. He raised the standard, actually, above the law. You know, because he said several times, you have read that it is written, thou shalt not murder. But I say, if you hate your brother in your heart, you are a murderer. If you hate your brother without a cause. Yeah. And he talked about adultery the same way. He says, the commandment says you shall not commit adultery. But I say if you lust after a woman, you know, that lust, of course, is an unlawful desire. If you unlawfully desire a woman, you know, that isn't your wife, basically, then you're an adulterer in your heart, he said. He's raised the standard above the law. The law can't save us, but he gives us the power to rise above it. Yeah, and he gives us liberty too. And we're to walk in that liberty, only not to use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And you know, saying some of these things would be confusing to the unregenerate. And can't understand it. Because these are spiritual matters that it can only be understood by the regenerate. They're empty words or contradictions to those that are not filled with the Spirit of God, that have not been born again. As Christians, we are instructed to keep the commandments of Jesus. We can't keep what we don't know. Plus, Jesus said that when we keep his commandments, we live in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 15:10. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Another important reason to know the commandments of Jesus is because, as his disciples, we are instructed to teach his commandments. Okay? We are to make disciples of all nations. Everywhere we go, we're to make disciples. That's a commandment too. Yeah. So we have to know his commandments if we're to teach them and make disciples. Disciples means that we learn discipline. We learn the discipline of Jesus because his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, indwells us when we are born again. And then we are conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah. Nonsense to the world. Nonsense to the unregenerate. And if it's confusing to you, then just pray. Ask Jesus that you could be born again. I beg for it and plead for it. If I didn't have it, because I have begged and pleaded to God to let me be one of his elect, to fill me with his Spirit. Yes, God wants those that desire him. Yeah. And he puts that desire in us. He calls us. Praise God. I can take no credit for the work that he's done in me. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The New Testament is new, and it's not the Old Testament. We are under a new and better covenant. So we need to walk in it. Anyway, some of the stuff I was reading there was from a book by Brent Atkinson, which I didn't purchase. This is part of the sample of the book on Amazon. So you can go there and you can at least read that part for free. And you might want to buy the book. I don't know. It seems like a good thing. I don't like that he uses the New King James Version, but it doesn't bother me. We're not going to go to hell because of the version of the Bible. We have better versions out there. We always look for the best one, I believe, is the authorized King James Version for the English-speaking people. And I have some people arguing that, well, no, it's the Geneva Bible, or it's the actual 1611 version with the Old English in it. Yeah, that's a little hard for me to... because I don't have the tools with that one that I get with the authorized King James Version. So, you know, I can't peer into, unless I want to open up my Strong's Concordance. It's much easier to have it at my fingertips on the electronic eSword platform. Now, I do have a Bible by my reading chair that is open, yeah, that I read quite occasionally, so that I have a book without any study tools. But when I'm working and studying and researching, I like the study tools. So I'll put down the paper book and look something up if I get the notion. But that's who we are if we're God's people. We love his word. And we can't get enough of it. And if you're lacking there, then just ask. You know, the Father says that, you know, if you ask him for bread, and in this case, his word is the bread of our soul, that he won't give you a stone. Sometimes we have to ask him to give us a stronger desire, a more hunger and thirst for his word, because it doesn't come natural to us. So ask him for it. Please, Heavenly Father, give me a hunger and a thirst for your word, a hunger and thirst for a better understanding of your word. And he will not give you a stone. He will answer that prayer. And just plead for it, you know, until you get it, until you can't live without it, like you cannot live without bread and water or whatever food you're eating. You can't live without it. Well, your soul can't live without the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, but also his word is our bread. And we need to feed on it. Our soul needs that word. And so many people are starving to death, spiritually starving to death, simply because they're not getting the word of God. and they're losing their way. Yeah. Okay, well, we're almost at the end of this segment here. We got another segment coming. So I'm going to check out the chat rooms during the break, see what we got. Any comments, questions? If anyone needs to call in a bit and actually speak on the air. And for the caller who calls in all the time and doesn't speak, I'm still praying for you. I thank God that you're still listening, that you keep coming back. And I just pray that the water of his word, what little you hear from this broadcast, might dig down and get entrenched deeply in your soul, and that God will give you that same hunger and thirst, especially for those spiritual things, that to make sure you're born again, that you're part of the elect of God. This is important. It's important for eternity. If you don't have eternal life, you have nothing. You might as well be dead. But where there's hope, there's life. You're still alive. God is still calling. He's still knocking. You just need to open. Yeah, especially if you're listening to this broadcast, you know he's standing at the door and knocking. He wants in. He says, I and the Father will come into him, and we will sup with him. Yeah, and what are you going to sup on? His word? Open it up. Say, I want to get to know you better. And he's going to point you to his word. Are you so special you need special revelation? Yeah, well, you're not, let me tell you. You're just like all of the rest of us. Yeah, we're not lifted up and high. We're not better than other people. We need his word, and he's given us his word abundantly. All we have to do is open it up and dine on it. Eat it. Make it part of who you are. Become intimate with the Word of God. And allow it to work in you. I think the washing of the water of the Word is appropriate here, because it washes our soul and our spirit, and it makes us clean. It changes our way of thinking and conforms us to the image of the only begotten Son of God. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. I don't know what we'll do in the next segment, but I'll figure out something quickly, unless someone calls in or asks me some questions in the chat room. I guess I'll check that other chat room over there at DLive and see if we got any questions over there. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 1:5, one of my very favorite books in the Bible. Loved it ever since I was a young man. I had enough wisdom to say I want to be wise upon reading the book of Proverbs. And I'll admit then I could barely understand anything I was reading. It barely made any sense to me at all. But now I read it, and it makes perfect sense. That's what 40 years in God's Word will do. Yeah, it'll open your eyes to something that made no sense, now makes perfect sense. Or maybe it's age and experience. Well, has a lot to do with that too. See, all the truly converted will continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord God, never fails in his work. Amen. Thank you for those words, Mr. Wordsworth, in the chat room over there at DLive. Yeah. Hebrew Roots is not only a shadow, it is a crooked shadow. Unfortunately, I have to agree with that. Substance over shadow. That is Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll be back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. if some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. I'm Nicholas Arthur. We're talking about, I was reading from the chat room. Peter said Paul is hard to understand. Yeah. But he didn't say it was impossible to understand. So keep reading and pray. Because when I don't understand something, I'll usually pray about it or at least look it up in Matthew Henry's commentary. And I find that Matthew Henry can usually straighten me out if I'm confused on something. Your name and where you're calling from. Yeah, Matthew Henry's pretty good at straightening people out if you're confused on something. Yeah, imagine that. I admit it. Sometimes I read something and I don't know what it means or it's not quite clear to me. So I'm sure that happens to all of us. Okay. Hey, that was our caller that I've been praying for. So make sure you add Nicholas's phantom caller to your prayer list. If you got one of those, just write Nicholas's phantom caller. And yeah, he's still here, still listening. That's amazing to me. Yeah. So I don't know why there's so much else to listen to on the internet, but I don't know why anybody's here. Yeah, there's so much other stuff. Okay, let's see. Let me check out the other chat room, see if we have any comments or questions over there. The truly converted, yes, okay. Hebrew roots, okay, read all that stuff. So we only have one commenter. Henry and John Gill's commentaries straighten me out, says Mr. Wadsworth. And yes, I like both. I have John Gill and Henry, both. So I use Henry's a lot more, Matthew Henry, that is, commentary a lot more than John Gill's. But John Gill has some insight, too. I even used him, some of his insight in my exposition of the Revelation. Used much more of Matthew Henry's, I have to admit, but even more of E.B. Eliot's. But altogether, most of the book is from other commentators who lived way before me. So I do the catch up from the 19th century to date. Yeah, that's the 1800s for you public educated people out there. Yeah, a lot of good commentaries from the 19th century and before, and that kept up to date on things in the Apocalypse or the Revelation of John fairly well. Okay, anyway, maybe we'll look at some news items and see if we got anything happening in the news. Once I start talking about news, this is where YouTube gives me strikes, because, you know, you can't discuss the news because we might not agree with it. Yeah. That's why we won't be on YouTube long, I guess. And not if we're going to talk about anything current, like if I look up leading doctors, governments are scrubbing unprecedented numbers of deaths related to the panic, the 2020 panic, and especially what they rolled out in the last 3 or 4 months. Yeah. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? I think everybody does. But yeah, I mean, wow. Got this chart here. And you can see this is the hockey stick. And this is the VAERS data. Deaths reported by year. And this, they started reporting in 1991. Because it looks like they established it in 1990 here. But you can see the related deaths from overall, all of the jabs that they were giving all those years to all those school children up through 2020, we had the same event, number of adverse events reported. Look at that. But to here in 2021, in just 4 months, it is up from about 200, less than 200, up to 2,400. Actually, it's above 3,000 now. Yeah. Reported adverse reactions. Okay. And also, this would be the same for deaths. Yeah, the same reporting. So you can see that. Oh, here, I forget to put it on the screen. Sorry about that. But there's the chart. And you can see this is called a hockey stick here. It goes down and all of a sudden, this is more than a hockey stick. It looks like a V. Yeah. That's something else. So there it is. Adverse reporting for the year 2021. You should be very afraid, I'm telling you, if you're going to participate in this. I would advise against it. I'm one of those white evangelicals that I heard about on the news. Beyond that, I'm reformed. I'm not really evangelical, because evangelie bellies are, as borrowing a phrase from Tom Fress, I'm not an evangelie belly. Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of wiggle around, but they're kind of unstable because they're not reformed. They haven't reverted back to the true apostolic faith that you find in the Bible itself. But, yeah, well, this is the news, people. This is what we need to be paying attention to. And I saw a funny thing on another broadcast that anyone who gets that thing on their arm, in their arm, that they were taking little magnets and they stick to the spot. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but there's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube and other places where the site where they got the jab, they are now sticking little magnets to it and they stick. So I'm thinking maybe I ought to just get a stronger magnet. Maybe you can pull out whatever it is that's in your arm. That's kind of scary too. Some people just think it's curious and they're kind of goofing around with it, but it's in their arm. It's pretty weird. I don't know if that's just a whole bunch of people that are colluding on making something up or not, because I don't know anyone, that I could take a magnet to that got the jab and see if the magnet sticks to them. So if you know someone, get a little magnet, a little refrigerator magnet, see if it'll stick to their arm on the site. That might be interesting to that one. I guess if I had a thermometer, I could get a magnet and test mercury to see if it's magnetic or not. But it seems that, they're jabbing it into your muscle. It seems like the metals would at least stay there for a while if they're using heavy metals. And they're not letting anyone know what's in the jab. It is metal, yeah. It's something magnetic, yeah. That says B-Train Live over there in the D-Live chat room. Thank you for showing up there. And getting a few words. Hey, we doubled our listeners over there on DLive. We have 8 viewers. Wow. Man, I'm getting popular, you know? Better not let it go to my head. Oh, okay. Enough fun. Yes, I could only dream of having 100 listeners or viewers or whatever. Yeah, boy, oh boy. Just think of it. Okay, well, yeah, we have other news. Let's check out our headlines over here. So I'm just going crazy over here all by myself. Let's see. In American classical liberalism, from 10 things we have learned during the 2020... Yes, the 2020 panic. The great panic of 2020. Material Girls, this is from LouRockwell.com. Material Girls, why biological sex matters. If you can't figure that one out, there's no help for you. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it matters. But it might not matter if you get the jab, because they say it makes you sterile. Yeah. Fortunately, see, now they're... I'll have to delete this from YouTube as soon as the broadcast is done by now. I've already said too many words that are flagged immediately. Let's see. Operation Quack Hack. Medical Mafia versus Medical Health Freedom Fighters. Yeah, that war is going on, isn't it? Yes, they want you to... I don't know. See, it's like YouTube and Bill Gates and Facebook, they want everyone. I mean, they're all for the eugenics agenda. That's what it's really, I believe that's what it's really all about. And if we go back to Deagle.com and look at their projections, I wonder if they've updated them. No, they don't need to update them, because I believe that also add to that, this is the first year that again, birth rates have dropped for 2020 in America. People say, well, 2020, you'd think they would have rose up. Well, no, these are birth rates. So we might have an effect. We'll have to see for 2021 what the birth rate effect is from 2020. You get what I'm saying? Because the birth rate has been dropping in America, and it's just past the point in the last few years, the point of no return, where replacement rate is now, we're just falling below that. But hopefully 2020, the panic of 2020 will have helped to raise the birth rates in 2021. You know, it takes 9 months, right? So hopefully people have been busy having more babies. It's good for the economy, and it's good for the kingdom of God, because the more people there are, the more people we can preach the gospel to, and have them join us forever in the new heaven and new earth, which we are all looking forward to, right?
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, the Deagle.com forecast was taken offline. It is available on archive.org, though. Wow, really? I didn't know it was taken offline. Okay, well, thank you for that. I'll have to get a copy of that WW. They have reports, but no forecasts. Okay, well, maybe they're getting some... maybe they don't want people to know. People were probably starting to put it together, because this is a DARPA military operation that's going on to... Yes, when you see what happened over the last year, especially through the election, and how the military reacted with in Washington, D.C., you realize something's up. Yeah, something's up, and something's wrong with the military, especially when they started vetting and kicking out anyone who was conservative, or especially that was a Trump supporter. started weeding them out of the military, at least there in Washington, D.C., where they were trying to protect their coup. Because that's what you do when you have a coup, is you have to surround yourself by a small army to make sure that the people don't, you know, storm the citadel and remove you from the power you just took over unlawfully or by a coup. Yeah, okay, more words that can get me kicked off of YouTube, I'm sure. Yeah. That's, okay, so anyway, well, thanks for the heads up on that. It was mentioned on Lou Rockwell, then it was gone. Yeah, the rest of the website is fine. So the forecast was taken offline. It is an archive. Ah, yes. So if you go to archive.org and put in deejil.com/forecast, then you can get a copy of it there. So I guess I'll have to do that. Get a snapshot of it for future reference. Okay, let's see what else we got going here. We're just kind of, we're almost at the end of the hour. So I guess I've whiled away the last segment pretty well here. I hope you've all enjoyed the first, our topic there, the keeping the commandments of Jesus and all of that. You've been listening, if you don't know, to me, Nicholas Arthur, this broadcast, Prophecy Reality News. And we'll be back here live next week. I do a broadcast daily on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Make sure you go there and you download our Prophecy Reality News app or install on your phone our mobile page for FirstAmendmentRadio.net/MOBI. We'll see you next time. They have reports, but no forecasts. Okay, well, maybe they're getting some, maybe they don't want people to know. People were probably starting to put it together, because this is a DARPA military operation that's going on to, yes, when you see what happened over the last year, especially through the election, and, how the military reacted in Washington, D.C., you realize something's up. Yeah, something's up and something's wrong with the military, especially when they started vetting and kicking out anyone who was conservative or especially that was a Trump supporter, started weeding them out of the military, at least there in Washington, D.C., where they were trying to protect their coup. Because that's what you do when you have a coup. Is you have to surround yourself by a small army to make sure that the people don't, you know, storm the citadel and remove you from the power you just took over unlawfully or by a coup. Yeah, okay, more words that can get me kicked off of YouTube, I'm sure. Okay, let's see what else we got going here. We're just kind of, we're almost at the end of the hour, so I guess I've whiled away the last segment pretty well here. I hope you've all enjoyed the first, our topic there, the keeping the commandments of Jesus and all of that. You've been listening, if you don't know, to me, Nicholas Arthur, this broadcast, Prophecy Reality News, and we'll be back here live next week. I do a broadcast daily on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Make sure you go there and you download our Prophecy Reality News app or install on your phone our mobile page for FirstAmendmentRadio.net/MOBI. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.